Folks, it's hard to find the perfect pair of jeans. You don't want to break the bank, but you need something that lasts. So the problem with jeans is that the really good pairs cost $200 or $300 easily, and the bargain brands just fall apart and look terrible. If you're sifting through sales racks just to find a decent pair of jeans under $100, you can call off the search party. 2017 is here, and you're already behind on this winter's hottest trend, so why not ignore all the fast fashion noise and buy something timeless? Delisted offers luxury gray denim at affordable price. Jeans that would normally cost you hundreds, Delisted has starting at just $75. They utilize the same fabrics, factories, and wash houses as the best known brands and designers, while skipping the markups and middlemen. The result, pure unadulterated denim without the retail runaround. Go to delisted.com, spelled D-S-T-L-D.com, and see where minimalist design meets maximum comfort. Delisted is your answer to elevated style without elevated prices. Just go to delisted.com right now and use the promo code FERAL at checkout and get 20% off your first pair. That's DSTLD.com, promo code FERAL. Five letters, folks. DSTLD.com for your jeans.
FERAL Audio.
There it is. Oh, yeah.
What's the buzz? Tell me what's happening.
Okay, good to hear from you. Tell me what's happening. Yeah, all right, folks. Let's get into it. Today is September 14th, 2017. We are live from Glendale, California. You're listening to another episode of Office Hours. Office Hours, yeah. Let's rock and roll, folks. Welcome to the show. My name is Tim Heidecker. This is my office. These are my hours. It's my new little catchphrase for the show. It is, as I was saying in the pre-show, really very quite warm in here in the office. That's not going to hopefully affect the show very much. We might have to open the door a little bit to get some air in here. First of all, I just want to get a couple of... I'm not even on Skype yet. Let me open that up. Yikes. There's always something. There's always something on this show. People are saying, hey... What's going on, man? It's not working. We're not hearing you. You're not on Skype. How am I supposed to call in? Everything is, like I said, it's homegrown here. It's handcrafted. Saw a sign in, I think, London. It was hand-roasted coffee somewhere. It was selling hand-roasted coffee. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. I mean, what are we doing here? Are we talking hot hands here? We don't know. So, yes, I am on Skype now. Let me make myself online. And you can call in, as you see, the real Tim Heidecker right there. That's the way you call in. You just ring up, and I answer, we talk. Let me plug a few things. We've got some, this all year was built around some of these live events. Of course, the Big Tim and Eric 10-year anniversary tour. And the Tim and Neil London experience. Let us not forget Manchester. But there's been these stragglers out there that we want to acknowledge and let everyone know, make sure they know about. First off, in Canada, many Office Hours listeners up in Canada. This I know. We're going to be up in Toronto. September 29th, two events on September 29th. One is a Just for Laughs In Conversation with Tim and Eric. That's at the TIFF Bell Lighthouse at 3 o'clock. That is basically, you know, we're going to have some moderator, and they're going to ask us about all the questions you all have about how we come up with our wonderful comedy and content. And I'm sure there'll be a Q&A as well. That's going to be a good time. I enjoy those. I enjoy, you know, sitting on a nice, comfortable chair and sort of waxing about our work, looking back with fondness. And then that night at the Sony Center. Ooh, the Sony Center. Yes, please. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. The 10-year anniversary awesome tour makes its Toronto debut, and we're excited to play Toronto. It's one of my favorite towns to perform comedy in. Tremendous audience there. And following that will be September 30th in Montreal at the Metropolitan. That's Metropolis. Okay, at the 59 Rue Saint Catherine, this the Montreal, Montreal. Oh, and good morning, good morning. Well, we rolled right into the next track on my Office Hours playlist. Nothing to do to save his life, call his wife and boom. Thank you, John, for that. What else? That's the Tim and Eric stuff, and then my other boyfriend, Mr. Neil Hamburger, we're doing some shows in the Midwest. And where did those shows go? That's going to be the in Chicago on October 11th at the Studebaker Theater. And then in Pontiac, Michigan at the Crewfoot Ballroom. And then in Grand Rapids at the Pyramid Scheme, which I've been told is sold out. But tickets are still available for Chicago. Always a treat to perform there in Pontiac and at the Crowfoot. Never been there before, so that's that. And finally, sorry to keep going. There's lots of little tidbits here, lots of little things. Los Angeles, and sort of don't just tune out because you're not there. This is a big, 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 big deal. I will be finally, a lot of people have wondered when this is going to happen. I'll finally be looks like we'll be taping my first and only, I assume, stand-up special. We're going to shoot it at the two shows at the Regent Theater downtown, December 8th, the day which will live in infamy, folks. December 8th at the Regent Theater in Los Angeles. Tickets are just going to be $10. We want to fill the place. We want to just get everybody in there and get a good audience for two shows. We're going to do two shows that night, and we're going to film it. The great Ben Berman is going to direct it. We're going to try to we're figuring it out. We want to try to do some interesting stuff. I might play some music. I'm going to do my stand-up character. And we'll get a nice version of it filmed, and then you can stop looking at the YouTube videos of it, and we can have a nice finished. Not saying that we're putting the character to bed or anything, but that will be a something I've wanted to do for a while, and we're gonna get her done. So let's open up the calls, open up the lines, and begin today with Terrence. Terrence, how are you?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, Terrence, how are you?
Hey, I'm great. It's an honor to speak with you, Tim. First things and foremost.
Thank you very much.
Also, it was very awesome seeing you on tour. No pun intended.
Thank you.
Actually, my pep and my best friend and I, we saw you in New York. You actually might remember seeing us. We were in the very front row.
Yeah.
You remember?
I do. And I saw you guys after the show, too, at the bar next door, right?
Exactly. We were kind of trolling around at the bar after. But you were with your gang of friends, so we didn't want to kind of bother you too much.
No,
but,
and I appreciate it because I appreciated you that you were spending time with your dad there.
Tim, when I showed him you and Eric, I mean, he loves you guys arguably more than I do. I mean,
wow.
We are diehard fans of literally the entire repertoire that is Tim and Eric. I mean, we literally watch everything. Huge diehard fans. So I just have a couple questions. I know it might be too soon to ask, but when do you think the next Tim and Eric tour would be? I know it's obviously way too soon to speak, you know, but
Not for a couple years at least, you know. Okay. I think we have to determine sort of what would the reason for that be, and what we're going out to surround it. We don't just like to go out for no reason. You gotta go away for a while, sort of to you can't just. Unlike some bands, you know.
Yeah.
People, they're always out there. It seems like they're allergic to the carpets at their home or something. They can't be home. They got to be on the road.
Yeah. Got to recharge a bit. I hear.
Got to recharge. You got to make them miss you a little bit. You know, there's a little bit of that. I know you, for example, might come back tomorrow if I came into town. You hear me?
Yeah,
but
that's right.
That doesn't go for everybody. That doesn't go for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, so, if you were there, you know, 7 nights, you would have gone every night. You know?
Oh, that's very sweet of you. And what a beautiful place to do this show, Town Hall. I think that will be one of the most memorable nights for me, that tour, because that room, that theater, is just so full of history. And
it really is. Really beautiful. Yeah, no, it was a beautiful place to have the show. It really was. It was cool. And obviously, seeing you guys after the show, that was just amazing. You know, we weren't sure if maybe there was like some back entrance that the show people get to walk out back. So that was just honestly so cool seeing you guys after. You and Eric, so genuinely nice, you know, taking pictures with everyone. You guys are so cool.
Thank you.
So we really do appreciate that. And, you know, just, you know, over the years, kind of just been dealing with some sort of, you know, patches of depression here and there. And, you know, I'm honest when I say this, you know, watching your show and with you and Eric or On Cinema or Decker, or any of the stuff that, you know, you guys and the whole Tim and Eric universe does, watching you with my pep, it really does help me keep cheerful.
Oh, that's terrific. That's good to hear. Thank you very much. And we wish you the best. Keep your chin up, and you can call in any time. And this not only is, I like to say to folks like you, this is, appreciate that nice thing you said there, but this is also a wonderful community here. So if you know, you feel free to reach the best that I always say, the neat thing about doing the Tim and Eric tours is or any of the live shows we do is people come together, and I think there's a lot of people that maybe don't feel like they're a part of a community normally, and then they come and see the show and they can meet all these people are like, oh, I just met my best friend because we were both fans of you guys, or we went to the show, or we were on this Facebook group together or something. So you got a lot of family here. You got a lot of love, and they're nice people too. So keep that in mind if you're ever feeling blue, you know, and and you're sick of the shows for some reason. You can always pop on the internet and find these wonderful people here.
Thanks so much.
Take care, brother. Really say all the best to your dad.
Thank you so much. I'll let him know. Take care, Tim.
Steven Silvestri, my old friend. How are you?
Hey. Oh wait. Hold on. Let me. Pause that. Dude, what's up, man?
What's up? By the way, my hashtag here on the screen, Angel Man, we got the big episode coming up this Sunday. Bedtime Stories premiered last Sunday with two new episodes. This Sunday will be, we're going to re-air Angel Boy and then run the new story in that saga, Angel Man. And that is just so some people that might have missed Angel Boy, can you believe it? We'll see that, and that'll roll right into Angel Man, which will be nice. So, that's what's planned for Sunday.
I speak on behalf of everybody, and
you do.
I think we're, you know, yeah, everyone's real excited.
Okay.
I want to ask you a very direct question.
Please, I want direct questions, folks. I do not want these. General, how do you come up with ideas, or how are you doing, or what's your favorite? Give it to me, Steven. Give it to me direct.
Yeah. How did you meet Vic? Because I love when Vic calls in and you guys talk. You have such a good
repertoire.
Repertoire, right.
Repertoire. That means you're sort of – what's the word we're looking for, folks? Not repertoire.
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 No, not repertoire.
What is the word
we're looking for? Rapport.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
No, because I was just, and by the way, I love that last call. That was so nice.
Beautiful. It's going to be a warm, I think it's going to be a warm day.
I love that he kept referring to his father as Pep.
Yes, like, we all love
completely
that.
Completely 100% serious. It's amazing.
How did I meet Vic? I think most people might know this story. I'm surprised you don't. This has been fairly well spoken of before. Vic said it, and I've said it before. All roads lead to On Cinema, friends. All roads lead to On Cinema these days.
Wait, can I stop you for a second? Can I guess what it was? Because I remember Vic, he had a YouTube channel, and he produced something, I guess it was On Cinema related. And I also remember he had amazing songs. I don't hear Vic's music as much as I used to on his channel.
Yeah.
He is an amazing musician.
He's really great. He went to school for it. And so that's that is the story. He made, out of nowhere, sent us these fan videos, these songs, these little music videos about Ayaka, I think, and about... So there's I can't remember what they were. They're somewhere online. You can look them up. But they're really funny and well-made. And then I've looked them up and... And then I found out he was from my hometown. So that was like, oh, that's kind of neat. I don't know a lot of people from my hometown that are doing cool stuff or you know. Anyway, so I got in touch, and we gave him an assignment and said, can you make a something for one of the Oscar specials, I think. And unbeknownst to us, he didn't really know how to edit. He didn't know how to do anything besides the music. And he was kind of just... The videos he sent were just kind of like the most rudimentary, like almost slideshow kind of compilations, just to have something to go with the music. But we gave him we gave him this thing that was like it was me on green screen. I think it was the when I was like fantasizing if I had won the Oscar. It was from maybe the second Oscar special or the first one. And so we gave him all this footage, and he was like, I don't know how to comp anything out. I don't know how to do green screen. I don't have any. So he went out and bought a new computer and like went online and learned how to do all this stuff without telling us. You know, he was just like, maybe I'm never going to get this kind of opportunity. So it's a good lesson. I love telling that story because it's a good lesson.
Wow.
In life is like, sometimes you got to fake it a little bit, and sometimes you just got to bullshit your way to get to this place where, you know, hopefully you can push through that and, it's always perception. It's like, what is our perception of him was like, yeah, he's probably just like a video editor, but you know, that can do this stuff because he's clearly got the right sensibility and the right timing and all that kind of stuff. So he did, he sent it in. It was really good. We didn't have any notes with it. And so we gave him some more things. We started talking some more. He started sending me some other stuff he was cutting, and we kind of, you know, just developed a natural, nice, mentor, apprentice-y kind of friendship that's, you know, we talk all the time.
What's interesting to me is, but then there's the, like how that developed into this really amazing political viewpoint. Right. And at the same time, it kind of intersects with your political viewpoints. And so it's amazing to then see that's beyond like even a sense of humor. It's really cool how you guys kind of met at that point.
Advocacy at some point. I mean, yeah, Vic gets into it pretty deep, and you know, he's not a super educated, politically educated guy. He's kind of coming at all this stuff as like, I'm just a dude with a family in Pennsylvania who is looking at all this stuff coming at me from the internet and the news and just being like, what the fuck? And
no,
insane. And you know, when you look at somebody like Alex Jones or Mike Cernovich or some of these nuts, like his reaction, I think is on par with a lot of people's, and he expresses
like you said, I think at the last office hours, he, and you said this to him, he can shine a light on of one very awkward moment,
right?
Or some very telling moment,
right?
And I think it's really important that we do that, because you know what was not like caught by the media that I heard? I remember some fucking time that Trump was talking, he was talking about Chelsea Manning.
Oh yeah, and he said called her he.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, you know, a total intentional.
I'm so happy that I haven't even mentioned that to anybody. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anyone noticed that. And it's weird that I didn't even see that get picked up.
I saw a little bit, but no, it did not get like a news coverage or anything like that. I mean,
yeah, but it, you know, it's
doing
like,
it. He's clearly doing that, it to be a dick and to be
sort of a
dog whistle to his lunatic.
It's sick. Yeah,
it's sick stuff. But all right. Well, thanks, Steven. We'll talk later.
Dude, thanks a lot. I love
all right.
you too.
Take care. Bye. Yeah,
take care. Bye. Bye.
I want to take this Matthew Bethlehem. Is that your real name, Matthew?
Dude, thanks a lot.
Hello.
Hi. How are you?
Oh, good. Yourself?
Good. Is that your real last name? Or is that?
No. That's just where I live. Well, let me meet this stream here. So I had a question that I always wanted to ask somebody who does filming stuff, right? So before you started doing filming, and you'd watch movies, was it easier to suspend your belief? Do you watch movies now and say, oh, I know what they're doing. I know that trick.
The answer is yes. It's a bummer. It's not the worst thing, but there is, the more you make stuff, the more you are sort of hypersensitive to the process that goes into making stuff.
Do you still find that you enjoy watching other people's projects, films?
I gotta tell you, I am less and less eager and interested to watch stuff, just to watch stuff. I would, sometimes it feels like a homework. I've said this before. Sometimes it feels like, well, I gotta watch The Handmaid's Tale, and why do I have to watch this? You know, this is gonna make me depressed, and it's very well done and beautiful and well executed and everything, but you know, what am I any different after seeing that? I mean, but so there's less of like I have less of a fanboy kind of like excitement about can't wait to watch this new show or can't wait to go see this movie. It's less stuff impresses me, less stuff. And also I just am exhausted by so much stuff. And I'd rather watch like old YouTube videos of, you know, I was watching one last night that was, it was John and Yoko on the Jerry Lewis telethon from 1973 or something like that. And it was so bad. And I enjoy watching that more than maybe, you know, some, like, I'm not going to watch the new fucking Deuce, the HBO show, The Deuce or whatever. Like, I'm going to see like a 70s, you know, costume project about the invention of, you know, porn in New York or something. It's like, no, I don't give a shit about that topic or the actors that get to put on the bell bottoms and play dress up, you know, and it's David Simon, which, so I should be very excited, right? I mean, that's the guy that made The Wire. The Wire is one of the great pieces of, you know, one of the great pieces of art, I think, of the past many years. It's beautiful. But it's gone. Enjoyment and excitement for this craft. It's not as potent as it was before. You hear me?
Well, that's interesting. It's actually, I didn't actually expect that answer, you know, because watching any type of film or art that involves cameras is really enjoyable for the general public. So I think it's interesting to hear that, you know, when people put their life force into doing things like this, that they actually lose that part of themselves. They don't get to get excited. So it's kind of, in some sense, like a sacrifice that you make to create your art.
Yeah. And also, I also find, you know, then you can also get like wrapped up in the negative feelings of like, well, why didn't, I wish I would have thought of that. Or why isn't what I do as well received as this, or why aren't I in this, what was wrong with me, you know, like there's like that whole side of it too, which it's not destructive to me or anything, but it does influence when you watch stuff, there's no question about it. So and there's also so much stuff, I don't know how you kind of wade, I don't know how people have time to go through all these shows and then all the podcasts like this one and but all of them, I don't know how people, not like, you know, I've got two kids, I'm doing all these different shows here and there, traveling and all this stuff. So, I part of me just doesn't have the time. And I also feel like, I'm trying to read more. I feel like I'm trying to, you know, do things that aren't that aren't staring at a screen as much. So that's keeping me away from stuff. I watched, you know, Game of Thrones. I enjoy that. I think that's the one show that I still like have invested in a lot of time in and enjoy the giant. I mean, that's a show where I go, I don't know how the fuck they're doing 80% of what I'm looking at. I really don't.
So, big budgets, I suppose.
Yeah,
right?
I mean, and I like that. So if you're like, and also the other thing this summer I didn't talk about, which is massively beloved, I think. And I on tour I went to see twice was Dunkirk, and that was a movie that I just again couldn't figure out how the hell they did it, and it was so beautiful and emotional and it just tense and exciting. And did you see it? Did you see Dunkirk yet?
I did. Yeah, it was amazing. It's funny though, because I guess in the end. So there are some things, subtle things that you get enjoyment out of, just not everything. And no. you made a valid point. There's a lot. My sister's constantly bugging me to watch It's Always Sunny. She says you're gonna love it. Right. And I did watch a few episodes. I laughed.
Yeah, it's fine.
But it's harrowing when I see, you know, what
19
is it?
Seasons of it or something, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's gonna take me forever to watch. Right. And so there really is this. This whole feeling that like you can't watch everything. I mean, what do they say now? You cannot in a lifetime watch every video on YouTube. It's impossible. Just too much time.
That would be a big mistake. Yeah. But
Check
it out. Check out John. If you're not, this is more to the audience. If you're not interested in this, I really enjoyed it last night. It was John and Yoko on the Jerry Lewis telethon. And I'll tell you why for me, like, first of all, Jerry Lewis and John Lennon together is very strange. And John Lennon, if you're a Beatles fan, he's coming out of, he's like just clearly moved to New York. He's with this band. I think the band's called Elephant's Memory, and they're the worst band. And it's funny to think about, like, now these classic rockers, so they get themselves with like the best musicians, and these are like, everyone's like really pro and top of their game. And some of the guys back then did that too, like when George Harrison left the Beatles, or when the Beatles broke up, George Harrison put together like this top-notch band of all these great musicians, Jim Keltner and Leon Russell and like all these guys. So when he went out and played and did some live shows and stuff, they were like, they were cooking, like they were good live bands. Lennon, I just felt like he never got together a good band. He got this band, Elephant's Memory, who I think I heard he found in a bar in Greenwich Village or something. And he had cobbled this group together. There's like a big tenor saxophone. And so you got to watch this. He's playing on the Jerry Lewis telethon. He plays Imagine first, and it drags like you've never heard anything drag, because the drummer is not like, he's slowing down. He's like, he's really like just clunking, and like, I'll play it. I think I should just play it at some point today. And then Yoko plays a song, and you know, I'm very forgiving of Yoko. I think a lot of her art is interesting, and I don't like blame her for the breaking up the Beatles or any of that stuff. But she's not shining in this this particular clip.
Ladies and gentlemen,
here it is.
Presenting
Matthew, I'm going to hang up on you. Thank you, brother.
Yep, you got it, brother.
Two of the most unusual people in all the world, and I don't mean just the world of entertainment.
Should we listen to this for a little bit? We should listen to this for a little bit. I enjoy it.
Except the standard of excellence. Ladies and gentlemen, John Lennon and Yoko.
I watch this. It's John Lennon and Yoko Ono, Jerry Lewis telethon. It's good to watch, too, because it looks kind of classic. So listen to when the drums come in. It's partly a mix issue because, you know, it's the telethon.
Imagine there's no heaven.
And Lennon looks like he does not want to be there. He's like, oh, fuck, why did I agree to do this?
It's easy if you try. No hell.
Drums are coming.
Above us only sky. Imagine all the people.
Now he's just dragging. I'm not a good drummer, but I can know when someone's dragging.
Imagine there's no countries.
Now, this moment right here at 1:25 or something like that, Lennon goes, he drops his hand like he's conducting. He's like, come on, dude. What are you doing, me? We're walking through the swamp right now. All right, so then you hear this? You got to watch. Check on. Come on, dude. Pick it the fuck up, man. Come on. It's dragging, dude. I was... What did this guy shoot in his arm before he set up at the drum store? You may say, I'm a dreamer. And then the sax comes in. Nah, he doesn't need the sax. All right, so then Yoko takes the keyboard because she wrote a song. And you never hear this song ever again. Listen to this. I don't know where this showed up. Maybe it was on one of those like rock and roll New York, rock New York, live in New York or whatever. But this song... was performed on the telethon.
This song is called Now or Never.
Now or Never. Does anyone know? Has that come up on a track? This is a tough one. And I, like I said, I have a lot of respect for her, but this is not a highlight.
Are we gonna keep pushing our children to drugs? Are we gonna keep driving?
Are we going to keep pushing our children to drugs? Are we going to keep driving them insane? I don't know.
Empty words.
All right, so she goes on for like 6 minutes with this song. And then, that's it. That's right. So then they do this.
We've made it easy for you. You'll recognize it when they start singing.
This is them doing
give
Give Peace a Chance with a bit of this bar band reggae-ish kind of...
Jamaica.
No.
And London.
It's like Puss Went Bang Gang right here. That is the chorus, John. Yeah, I guess. This is really a sloppy mess right about now. And then Lennon gets really angry because the audience is not singing along. And he yells at them. Wait, do you see? You have to watch it to see the fucking fury in his face when he's like, come on and sing! Very on cinema Oscar special. You gotta check it out. Ugh. Here he comes, watch this.
Come on, sing!
Sing! Sing, you motherfuckers! Alright, and then, you know, it goes on and on. I see what they're trying to do, but it never really clicks. Jerry comes out, because Jerry's like, this is bombing badly. Save the children. Also, give peace a chance. Also, send money for muscular dystrophy. Send your money now. And then Jerry comes out with this little piccolo trumpet like you might have seen on Penny Lane, anybody. And he's like goofing off. And anyways, it's a real treat. So I'm watching that, you know? I'm watching that. Cal? Cal?
Hey,
what's up?
What's up? Hold on, I'm just muting the stream. What's going on, Tim?
I was having fun there. I was playing that John Lennon telethon video.
Yeah, that was rough. The slow drums.
What's going on with you?
I saw the two new Bedtime Stories shows the other day. And I, you know, Twin Peaks just wrapped up and everything, and I saw Ray Wise and the Duke. I was just wondering, what's it like working with him? Because he's like, he's just an insanely good actor, and he's so creepy.
Oh, so great. Well, it's interesting. I'll tell you a quick story about that. We were prepping that show, Bedtime Stories, and it's a really... it's a tough show to make. Finding all the locations, and mostly it's about locations and cast. You know, that's sort of the thing that vacillates so widely, because you're just trying to find the right places. You know, a casino for one thing is like, where can we shoot this that will allow us, and where can, and then the cast. If I recall, was like we didn't have anybody cast for that, like 1 or 2 weeks before production started. We didn't know what to do. We were we had written the Duke as a Latino guy, as a Mexican or Spanish, actor, sort of like Ricardo Montalban, but obviously he's dead, so it wouldn't be him, but somebody of that type. So we were looking through just tons of guys and, kind of burning through them, like people that were not available, people that were not interested, basically between those two, people that we didn't think were right for it. And at the same time, we're like, well, we also have to cast the mom and we have to cast the son. And we just were having trouble with all of those people. And I think really quickly, I think within 2 days, I think I said, maybe I said it would be surprising if I did. I can't remember. It was me or Eric. Maybe I did, but I thought it, and I said, I don't know and if I want that or not, but I'll suggest it was Ray Wise. Because we felt like, well, we had used him, and we it wasn't as exciting for a second. It wasn't as exciting to do him because he had been in the movie,
right.
Eric had him in a video, and so it wasn't like new ground. But then it was like, oh, wait a minute, he's actually really good too,
Yeah.
So that started to come together, and then our script supervisor and our assistant, we were sitting around at lunch, saying who could be the woman and the mother, and somebody, I think it was our script supervisor or our assistant, somebody brought up Rhea Perlman. I said, geez, she would be amazing.
Yeah.
And then Eric thought of Jorge Garcia. And again, we're like, I just don't think he'll do it. I don't know why he would do this. I think he lives in Hawaii. It was that kind of attitude.
Right.
And then by the end of that day, everybody was like on board, which was like, oh, good. That's amazing. That's perfect. But
yeah,
the fact that they're all available during that time, that they have those days off, they were not working on other things. And but Ray, we had worked with before. He's a gentleman. He's super professional. Like everyone just comes into those just like have learned their lines, and bring their own energy to it. And it was for something that's very ambitious that takes a lot of. First of all, we have like 3 days to shoot, or at the most 3 days to shoot that whole thing in. Mm-hmm. Those guys have to be just perfect almost every time because we just don't have time to work on it, And
yeah.
So they come in and just like lay it down perfect, very, rarely do you have to go in and work on their performance. Like, especially Jorge, actually, he was just the best tone I've ever seen from somebody. I mean, it's Ray and Rhea. There's a little bit of reminding them that this isn't a comedy in the way that you would expect a comedy to be. It's not. We're not looking for you for big hammy, or we're not looking for you to do a funny performance, essentially. So
right.
You got to kind of manage that a little bit. But otherwise, it's just such a pleasure there to work with them, professionals.
Yeah, and I guess in that sense, you kind of. Instead of having, I know you wanted to break new ground with a new person for the Duke role, but in that sense, it actually worked in your favor to have somebody that you know can just step up to the plate,
exactly,
and get it done in a 3 days time.
Yeah, it was. We were so happy.
So,
I mean, watching them, the scenes where they were acting together was just. We just couldn't be happier. Experience sitting behind the monitors watching that. We're like, this is all working out. Great. All right, Cal.
Yeah, plus that story, I just wanted to add real quick, that story in itself was actually, like, I'm glad you guys, figured that out, because it's hilarious, the concept of doing scratch-offs at a casino.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it killed me. I was like, the sincerity of it with that is nuts,
Thank
but I'll
you.
Let you go now.
Thanks,
man.
Take care. Hello, Stevie.
I mean, it killed me. I was
Stevie?
Like,
hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
Am I on?
You're online with Tim Heidecker and Office Hours. Welcome to the community. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Los Angeles.
Oh, down the street.
I'm down the street. I'm in Koreatown.
Okay. Well, what can I do for you today?
Well, so Tim, longtime fan, first time listener to Office Hours, and first time caller. But I'm glad I could get you on the line because I actually had a really weird morning.
Uh-oh.
So I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but I peeled an orange. And this is true. So I peeled this mandarin orange this morning, and there was a hair under the peel.
Inside the orange.
In the orange.
Hmm.
So I don't know. I still have it, and I haven't eaten it. But, I mean, what – do you have any advice? Like, should I eat it? Or what do you think?
Yes, you should eat it if you want it. If I mean, assuming you've got other mandarin oranges there, you're not buying one at a time.
True. I do have the bag.
So you could lose that one, probably with not wouldn't be too much of a ding on your, you know, it's a bit wasteful, I guess. What color was the hair? Let's get through. Let's get into this.
All right. So it's like the worst hair you could imagine finding, honestly. It was long.
Mm.
I'd say maybe at least an inch.
What the hell? An inch is not that long, but...
Well, but a mandarin's small, so to scale, it was like, oh, shit. Yeah. Like and then dark.
Dark.
And I have blonde hair, so not me.
You have a dog or a cat or anything like that?
Okay, I do have a cat.
Ah.
But inside?
So...
No, I don't know.
Inside, the mandarin orange has a bit of a... it's a little airy in there, right? It's not like a tight rind onto the fruit.
There's some fuzz, but so because I took out three because typically I'll eat three. So I had number one and one was good, and then it was number two, and that's when I was like, oh boy. And then I skipped to number three, and all was well. So it was this rotten little one.
Well, here's what I think we should do. I don't know. I am not a expert on fruit or hair. And certainly I'm not an expert on their relationship together. I think we should put it out to the chat group here on the comments. If anyone has, you can jump on there. If anyone has any further thoughts on that, I look forward to to reading the discussion later. All right, Stevie.
Okay.
Thank you. Thanks for calling
in.
And keep listening. Take care. All right. I could feel like that wasn't going to really resolve itself in any satisfactory way. I don't know. Ian.
Hello?
Hello, Ian. How are you?
Hi, Tim.
What's up?
I just wanted to congratulate you, man, on 2017. A lot of content. Really
Thank
loved
you.
It all.
We love the content. Let's walk through it. I mean...
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, I love Decker and On Cinema. It's just like...
It creates
so many layers that you don't really see in content, like synchronicity.
We had On Cinema Season 9 to start the year off. Is that right? Around that, like March?
That's correct.
Like that? And then we had Decker, of course. 12 episodes of Decker, unclassified, unsealed, and then Mind Wipe followed directly after. Then we had, for the lucky people out there, saw the Tim and Eric live experience. We had the live shows. Then we had the Tim and Eric Awesome Show special. And now we're in the midst of Bedtime Stories. So it's really kind of been a continuous, and of course, Office Hours here. So,
it's so great. And I saw you in Brigsby Bear, too. You were all over.
I haven't gotten a chance to see that yet, but people have been saying nice things about it. And
it's one of my favorites.
Cameo. And, of course, been pumping out some music. So you've been hearing some music from me this year, mostly all the Trump songs, which I believe will be coming out in an official form in later this year, November, I think. So they'll be all collected under one banner, so you won't have to search the internet for the scraps.
Very exciting.
I think, speaking of that, maybe I should... I haven't put this out yet because I'm not sure I'm, like, fully on board with it. But I did this Bob Dylan pro-Trump song.
Oh, I saw you tweet about that, but I wasn't sure if...
So I did this... let me see if I could find it. This was a song I wrote that was basically, like, if Dylan had written a campaign song for Trump, and then this wasn't used. So this would have been from 2016.
Are you going to play it?
I'm playing it right now.
Very exciting.
While Hillary counts her money, I'm Saudi Arabia kings. George Soros watching from above, pulling on the strings, and the media tells the lies and pours fuel on the fire. Seems like every day the American dream is getting out of reach. Our first black president was conformed to be a liar. Ain't never been a time when things have been so dire.
Justina, hold on a minute.
We're thirsty for a king. We need a strong man to protect us and keep us under his wing. We better come quick. It's getting down to the wire. Ain't never been a time where things have been.
Here's the last verse, and then we'll take a call from Justina.
And then down descended the one who would lead us to the light. We should have known an accomplished businessman would be the one who was always right. Well, give him the keys before the dream and gets thrown down in the fire.
Right, that's the new one. Whipped that up the other day. I guess I'll put it out. You guys seem to enjoy it. Justina, you there?
Yeah. Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
All right. Where are you calling from?
Lincoln, England.
Yes, of course. Lincoln, England. What part of the island are we talking here?
It's kind of in the middle.
Oh, the Midlands, yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Uh-huh. How can I help you today?
I'm kind of late to this stream, so what's Angel Man?
Well, Angel Man is the sequel to the Angel Boy show from Bedtime Stories. And that is airing tomorrow, or Sunday, on Adult Swim. So, unfortunately, I don't know if you'll be able to see it, unfortunately.
I'll find a way, you know.
Have you?
Unless you don't want me to find a way.
No, I say if you live across the way, on outside of the United States, then all's fair. However you must see it, you will, I suppose.
Is this an English accent?
I suppose it is, yes.
Very good.
Thank you.
It is an English accent.
And is this all you're calling about, is to find out the...
No.
No. I suppose not.
I was looking for life advice.
Yes, fine. What is the question?
Okay. I just finished art school.
Mm.
Which is kind of a... You know, it's a situation to just have finished art school.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the most precarious situation that maybe a person could ever be in.
Right.
In a way. And I'm thinking about becoming a butler.
A butler?
I know it's crazy.
A butler.
But I'm really set on it.
Now, where does you think it, is there a place? Isn't that a job that you're born into in a way, or you've got to?
Not anymore.
No.
You can actually go to butler school, and if you go to Dubai or China, you can make $100,000 a year being a butler.
Blimey!
Because they love that kind of thing. It's apparently from Downton Abbey. They got really into it.
Now.
It's a niche.
Let me ask the obvious, because you're obviously a woman, and can a woman be a butler in these days?
Yes, I've seen it.
All right.
So that's basically, you're not, yes.
You're not described as a maid or a housewife. A butler. Your job is to buttle.
Yes.
And... I say go for it. I mean, would you travel then? Would you go to China or Dubai, as you say?
Yeah. I mean, I watched this film with this really suave concierge.
Hmm.
And it just made me want to do that kind of thing. But it's kind of a flight of fancy. Do you think it's good to follow flights of fancy this way? Because it could be, you know, a year or three or ten. Hmm.
Well, you must be quite young.
Huh?
You must be quite young.
23, yes.
23.
I mean, not too young. Not young enough for a crazy idea.
Right.
You know?
Well, I suppose if you can do it and you can make some money doing it and it satisfies your desire to do it, then I suppose you can't go wrong. You'll be 28 at the latest if you come out of it as a bad thing. Yeah, I don't know. It's got to be, if it's something that's burning inside you, you got to see it through, and it's not a total waste. The art's going to be there for you when you get back, and maybe it will drive you. And it could be a terrible, terrible thing. Then you could get out of it, because it's not slavery. It is. It's something you can move on from, I suppose.
I suppose. I mean, they do say 28 is the year that women... hit the wall and stop becoming remotely attractive.
I do not believe that in the slightest. I do not believe that. I believe women...
This is what I worry about.
No, sweetheart, are you crazy? You've got years ahead, and you've got to not worry about that clock. Now, there is a biological clock, you know, if you want to have children, of course, but it gets a bit more difficult as you get older, but there's science for that. I have great friends who have waited till they were 40 or so, and they're having children. Oh yeah, oh yeah.
Wow.
No worries
That's good for them.
So you go and if you can do it responsibly and you're not hurting anyone, I say go be free. Go do, you know. I wouldn't want to be a butler. You know, I wouldn't want to do it.
Okay. Well, good luck.
That's not me. So let us know, Justina, how it goes, and we'd love to hear more from you down the line.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Justina.
I have called in about four times before, you know, if you didn't.
And we've spoken.
Huh?
And we've spoken.
In what?
And we've spoken?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Well, I don't remember everyone that calls in. I'm sorry, I have to say.
I know.
I don't do it. Did you come see the shows in London?
No, I didn't.
Oh, God damn you. God damn you. God damn you. Good luck, Justina. Call in anytime.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
Tim. It's Tim D calling in.
Tim D on Tim Thursday.
Yes, it's Tim Thursday as usual. How can I help you today, Tim T?
Hey, well, you made my morning. I had 4 wisdom tooth taken out, and then I find out you're going to have a comedy special, Tate.
That's what we're looking at. It's looking very good.
Well, do you know who's going to put it out?
We don't. We're kind of putting it. We're going to put it out there in the open market. See who wants it.
Okay, cool. That was my question.
All right. Take care.
Have a great day.
Good luck to you. This is Jash calling in. Jash.
Hey, Tim. I had a question and a comment. What was it? Before season 3, I was offered a personal assistant on your show. I interviewed with your producer, J.K. Mercer, those crazy blue eyes.
Uh-huh.
But I'd send her a couple of writings that were titled Jash, or, you know, with something else after the title. And I know it's a wild coincidence, but I was just curious where you guys got the group name Jash from.
Well, I like to comb through resumes and rip off people's names. No, it's funny. I do know how it came. We had a bunch of names on a table, and Josh was the name that was really the front runner. Josh, you know, J-O-S-H. And we were liking that, and then I said, well, maybe it's a little, maybe we should just make it Jash instead of Josh. And so it's this new thing. But yeah, it was not coming from your resume, I can assure you that.
No, I know it's a small world.
People hate the name. I mean, I think everyone is just like, what the fuck is that? I like it because it lets Jash define the name. The content gets to define what Jash means, you know, for better or for worse. So it's not like Wacky Monkey the Goof Zone or something. It's not like, it doesn't tell you what it is through the name. It's sort of inert, Nike, you know, Nike. What does Nike mean? I don't know. All right.
Nothing.
What does Jash mean to you?
Awesome.
Where does Jash come from?
We had a substitute teacher in high school from Boston, and instead of saying Josh,
right,
you know, her O's were A's.
Yeah. All right. Okay. Well, thanks, Jash. There's the solving of your mystery.
You have a good one.
See ya. Hey, Brett.
Hey, what's up, man?
What's up?
So I was wondering, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I've only seen this photo on the internet, so I can't attest to its legitimacy, but I was wondering what it was like to be the homecoming king.
Oh, somebody's doing their internet sleuthing.
Yeah, and he had a cutie too.
Oh boy. Well, I thought the whole thing was pretty weird. If I remember, I was you know, back in those days, I had a little closed circuit TV show morning news basically in the high school. So it was me and a couple guys. We would put together a little show every morning. And by God, if there's any tape of that out there, wouldn't that be fun to check out?
Right? Yeah.
It was very silly, I'm sure. I know we tried to do a lot of comedy. So I don't have any tapes of it, but if anybody can find it, go to Allentown Central Catholic High School and demand some tapes.
Yeah.
So I was on TV every morning at school. So I think by my senior year of high school, I was kind of a minor celebrity. You know, it's funny when people get put on TV, people just look at you differently. Pretty
exactly.
Much immediately. So I think that led a little bit to my rise as the homecoming king. I also believe that there was a bunch of football players who were in contention, and they probably all voted themselves out of the equation. You know, they kind of watered down the voting or some. I don't know. I don't have a strong memory of the day or anything. I wasn't a big like school pride kind of guy, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
But I took a little pride. It was fun, you know. I thought maybe this was all like a goof on me. You know, maybe it was like a practical joke. But I don't know. I think I was kind of broadly well liked by people at school. You know,
that's good.
Different, you know, the music nerds and the theater people and then the sports guys. No one had a problem with me. I was funny enough. You know, I was weird, but not like antagonistically weird.
Yeah.
I was like Ferris Bueller, you know?
Sure.
Just kind of floating by.
Did you do a speech?
Did I do a speech? I don't remember if I did a speech. I don't remember. I must have said something.
Thank you for voting for me.
Yeah, I must have had some comments. I was on a, you know, I do remember I was on the back of a convertible and they drive you around the you know, in during halftime. And I believe it was raining. So I believe it was, you know, did that kind of vibe. All right. Thanks, Brett, for bringing me back to those wonderful.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Let's take Jake, because Jake's got his baby on his picture. And how's Jake doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. How can I help you today?
I was just wondering if I heard that Piff the Magic Dragon was looking for a place for his TV show. Then they talked to Absolutely. Do you know anything about that?
I know he had been meeting with our producers and they were working on a pitch. They were working on getting a show together. I don't know much more than that. I haven't followed up on that. A friend of ours, director Josh Forbes, I believe, brought him in to us, and I think they're, you know, trying to wade through the obstacles and the challenges that are involved with making a TV show. I don't have any updates on that, though. I'm sorry.
No, that's okay. Have you seen his live shows?
I can't say that I have. I've not been to Vegas in 8 years or 10 years. How do you like that?
Oh, okay.
So no, I haven't seen it. I heard it's great, though, and would be excited to have him a part of the Absolutely family.
Yeah, cool. That's all I have.
Thanks, Jake.
Thank you.
All the best. Let's take Zach. Zach?
Hey, what's up?
Hey, man.
What are you doing?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm fielding calls. I'm just getting to know the audience. I'm out doing outreach, playing some music. Where are you calling from?
Fishtown.
Yeah, baby. You ever go down to that bar, Martha?
Yeah, I was gonna go the one night that you were there, but
my friend owns that bar. He built that bar, and he's So if you're in Philly, you're in the Fishtown area, Northern Liberties, this and that, go check out Martha. That's my plug. All right.
Is that all you got to say?
To you, it is. You piece of shit.
What? I was going to ask you some questions.
Go ahead. Fucking ask me. I don't give a shit. Go ahead.
I'll call next time.
No. You call. Now. You ask two questions.
You were born on the same day, February 3rd.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah, and I always say that on my birthday. I say I was born on the same day as Tim Heidecker.
What year, dude?
92.
Oh, shit. I'm 76, bro. I got you beat big time. I'm lording over you like a big old dad. I could have had you as my son.
I sang one of your songs in my talent show in like
which
fifth
one?
Grade. It was like the Bear Trap song from Tom Goes to Mary.
Oh my goodness. When you were in fifth grade?
Back.
Holy Christ.
Yeah, it was way back.
God lamb damn it. All right, well, all the best to you. I'm happy to share a birthday with you.
Yeah, so I'll see you again.
See you, Zach. Take care. Philly checking in. Nathan?
Oh, hey, Timony, how's it going?
Hey, brah, what's up, dude?
Hey, I got kind of a long shot here. Have you ever heard of the Adult Swim streaming show development meeting?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I guess so. They show stuff.
They show the VPs, stuff. They take pitches from calls.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I tried to call in once because I had this idea for a season or maybe a spinoff of Decker. Wrote up a little pitch Bible thing about it. They said that you'd have to have like some kind of influence beforehand. I was just wondering if I could be annoying and send it to you or something. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, we're kind of full up on ideas with that stuff, and it gets a little tricky to receive outside ideas because we want to do our own stuff. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then if we do something that feels similar to what your idea was, you're gonna feel like we might have stolen it, and it gets complicated. So we just assume let us do what we want to do, and we especially stuff that if you had a brand new fresh idea that didn't have anything to do with anything I created, you want to send that, that's different. We'd be, you know, we're always looking for young talent, and if you're like, oh, I got an idea that for Decker, you know, I just assume rather not see it, if you don't mind, but I appreciate your interest.
All right, yeah, I understand that.
Thank you, Nathan. Good luck to you. Bye. He understands it. He gets it. He's not like Sarah.
Not see it, if you don't mind.
Thank you, Sarah, for calling in.
Hi.
Can you mute your stream, please?
Yes, I did it.
Okay, good. Yeah, thank you very much, Nathan, by the way, for understanding. I don't want to sound like a jerk, but I just, I'm being honest with you. How can I help you, Sarah?
I don't know if you... said this, or if you know when the tickets for your stand-up special go on sale?
I think they're probably on sale now.
On your website?
I don't have them up on my website yet. I do not. If you go to the Regent Theater, if you type in Spaceland Presents, type in Regent Theater Tim Heidecker on Google. You'll be able to get him.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Hold on. Let me see if I can do something really advanced here. This could be a huge new development for... I can send you... Watch this.
A link?
Ready to this? I'm sending you a link. This is such interactive content.
It's a great system.
Yeah.
Oh, I see it.
All right.
Thank you.
That's a one and done deal. Sarah, you know what you could do for me?
What?
Pay it forward? Put that link into the comments here so other people can see
it. I will do that.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. We are using technology. Jonathan Crockett. Jonathan Crockett.
Thank you.
How are you? How are you?
Tim, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Jonathan Crockett, son of
Pretty
Baby Crockett?
Good. Hey, I was just wondering. I've been hearing... this thing about the Louis C.K. allegations pop up recently, and I was just wondering if you had any thoughts on that or if you weighed in on that yet.
No, I don't know anything about that, and I've got to, you know, these things come up, and my policy, unless I'm involved or I know personally the person involved and I've talked to them, and even in that case, I mean, I don't feel comfortable. I don't think there's value in pining or pontificating about it one way or the other. There's an incident going on in Los Angeles with the Cine family. It seems like there's a tendency for people to jump in, chime in, act as an expert on situations. It's not my place. I could tell you the way my ethical understanding of how to treat women and how to treat other people is with, you know, respect, and there's no room for any kind of abuse, no matter who you are. So that's, you know, how I feel. I just don't know the circumstances. I think that's for, you know, for a jury, for a judge to determine. And I think that's the best move for somebody like me is to not start blabbing about shit that I don't know shit about. And I wish more people would go by that edict.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, I hear you. Yeah, I was just surprised to hear about it. It's kind of a bummer, but hopefully, you know, it all works out.
Well, There's lots. I guess I could say this. There's lots of information about that online. If you really want to dig down into it, you can find it. Maybe that'll clarify it more for you or clear things up. But yeah, I don't know enough, and it serves no one any good for me to be blabbing all about it. All right.
Right.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for taking the call. Have a good
one. Take care. What else we got here? The Nickelodeon Theater.
Hey, how's it going?
Thank you.
How's it going, Tim?
Good, how are you?
Doing good. Hey, this is Pedro. We're from South Carolina. We spoke like a while back.
Yeah, I recognize the theater name for sure.
We had a conversation about a relationship issue I was having. I'm sure you're dying for the update.
Give me the update.
So she's in Canada now. A meditation retreat.
Oh,
and
sounds so boring. You know what?
I was the one causing trouble.
Yeah.
In the first place. Now I am feeling a yearning. I'm feeling like I missed her a lot, and so I don't know. I'm getting all thrown up all over the place. Just getting real sick about it, metaphorically.
Well, but. You know, you got to let time pass. These are feelings. These are real feelings. They're gonna. You can't ignore them. You have to acknowledge them. I say, keep yourself busy. Keep yourself active. Spend time with as many friends as you can. Give yourself work to do. Because you have to admit, when you're busy, those thoughts go away. Am I right?
Yeah, no doubt, no doubt. That's what I like to do. I like to have my own light, you know, that I can kind of keep myself warm. Right?
Yeah.
Not depending on someone else's life.
No,
exactly. But that's beside the point. I have a question for you.
Go ahead.
I was wondering if you had a superpower, what superpower would you have? I think
it would be total command and control of my bowels at 100% of the time, at every moment, and never a slave to my bowels.
Would that be like a superhuman strength element?
I believe so. I believe that that's something that would, you know, to really fully master that, where no matter what you would put in your body, no matter what you do to yourself, you are, let's say every other day, there's a period of the day that you can control and choose to your liking when you evacuate your bowels in a pleasurable, in a comfortable, unevasive, clean, hygienic way. It's just,
and you're the master commander of your vessel, like fully. Yeah,
and I'm not, and I'll tell you, I'm not. That's not the way I am right now. So I want to change that. I'd love to have that ability.
Sure.
So that's superhuman to me. All right,
you're not at the. All right. Well, if I could share mine really quick.
Nah.
All right. Well,
Thank
don't worry
you.
About it. It was the same as yours.
So. All right. Bye bye. I don't care what he wants his superhuman ability to be. No interest to me. Steven.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hi, Tim. Wait, it doesn't sound like you.
It's me, baby. I can only do what I can do. This is who I am.
All right. How you doing?
Good.
Good. I had a question about lobsters and film. Sorry, I may sound a bit weird because I just got back from the dentist.
You do sound a little weird. Does sound like you just got back from the dentist.
Yeah,
I love that you just had to call in.
Frozen.
I love that you just had to call in anyway.
Yeah, I had to do it. But lobsters and film.
Yeah.
So my question about that is, when you're thinking up about stuff like that, like, does it just sort of pop into your head and you go, like, oh, this is a great idea? Or is it something that you just kind of like come up with and then work on and it turns into something funny?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. You know, I think lobsters and film is probably comes really quick.
It
pops into my head, and then execution of it takes a little bit more work and a little bit more thinking. Okay?
Okay.
Thanks, Steven. Good luck to you. Brian Olick. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Tim. How's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
Oh, you know. Not so good. Hey, I was wondering, do you have a morning routine or like a nightly routine? What do you do?
Well, I try to. I think I get up pretty early. I get up between 6 and 7 generally. I look at my phone, of course, like everybody, you know, you look at what you what you missed. A bunch of stuff comes in overnight, so you look at that and get up. I try to get up before the family does so I can have a little alone time, a little private time. So sure. I'll make some coffee. I do drink coffee first thing in the morning. I do a black.
That was my next question.
I do the drip. What's it called? The sort of it's you make one cup with it. You put the it's like the ceramic sure. the ceramic I can't remember what it's called. It's like a,
but you don't do that. Like you don't do those.
No pods. It's like you put a you get a filter. Okay. You put it in this ceramic cone thing that sits on top of your coffee cup, and you put the boil the hot water and you put the two big tablespoons of ground coffee that I grind myself the night before usually, and then I pour the hot water over that and it drips in, and then lately I've been doing sort of the hipster breakfast. I've been doing avocado toast because I'm not eating meat and dairy and stuff. So I do avocado toast with some tomatoes, a little olive oil, salt and pepper on some good toast, and coffee. And I sit there and I open up my laptop and I look at I return to the news or whatever. And then, you know, within 5 or 10 minutes, the kids get up and if I'm home and I'm not like rushing off to go to a shoot or something, I'll, you know, try to make them breakfast. And
sure. Was that something you sort of had to like, cause like for me, I wake up pretty late. I'm trying to wake up earlier and like go to bed earlier. Yeah. And, what like earlier in your life was that, when did you start deciding like, oh, I got to wake up early? Was there ever a period in time where you rolling out of bed?
From my late 20s until until now, I've sort of had a job. So like when I was in my late 20s, I had a office job in New York, and I had to be at the office at 8:30. So you know, I'd get up at 7:30 to get there. So that probably trained me most of all for 3 years working in an office job to just kind of get up no matter. And so over time, like, you know, even if you'd have a late night on the weekend or something, I would still, the sun will generally get me up. Unless I've got fully blacked out windows or something, I'm generally getting up with the sun. And
cool.
I get tired at night. And, you know, like I was saying to this guy earlier about watching TV and stuff, I was trying to catch up on the Game of Thrones. And, you know, like 9 o'clock at night, I've been working all day, the kids until they go to bed. And I'm like, it's like comically, I'm lying in bed watching this and my eyes are just, you know, falling. And I keep on having to like slap my face and like try to shake it off because I'm just ready. Yeah. I'm like, it's like I've been drugged or something. And on the screen, there's big battles going on. And it's like, I'll just close my eyes, and I'll go I'll fully fall asleep, and then something will wake me up, and I'll have to rewind a little bit and something. I get really tired at night if I've had a big productive day, you know, hopefully, not a day of me sitting around watching YouTube videos. So
yeah, I kind of like that though. Like I've started to like, you know, I'm at a startup. And it's weirdly like I like being tired at night.
Oh yeah,
I don't know. Maybe it's just me, but it feels good.
I don't know
to, like,
what people do. Some people stay up all the till midnight and or later. And I mean, between 9 and 10, I'm like so tired, and my bed's so comfortable, and my wife's there, and I'm reading a book, and it's like I'm done. I'm gonna get up early and have a full day tomorrow. So let's get that going. Get me to Dreamtown. Sure. So my advice is to start waking up early, And then by the time it's, you know, 10 o'clock, you're going to be ready to bed. Ready to bed. Go to bed. And you get into a nice room.
Cool.
All right, thanks.
See ya.
Let's take Mints.
Hold up.
This guy,
hey.
Mints' friends got to deal with this all the time. Hold up. Mints ain't ready yet. Go ahead, Mints.
It's been an early morning.
Where are you calling from?
Southeast Washington.
All right. Hey, by the way, your accent reminded me. If you want to, if you have donated to any kind of hurricane relief, or you want to, On Cinema has made a very special summer movie review episode. That's audio. It's a podcast form, the audio form of the show. That you can get instantly if you send an email with your receipt of $15 or more to any charity that you've chosen or that you will choose now. Send it to oncinemacares@gmail.com. oncinemacares.com. oncinemacares@gmail.com. Send the receipt, a screenshot or a scan or whatever, $15 or more. You'll get an audio file back shortly. And it's about 15 minutes of Greg and I reviewing the summer movies. It's a very fun listen. So that's our way to try to help out. If you can do it, I don't care who you donate to, as long as it's going to help our friends down in Florida and Texas.
Funny thing about that, 15 minutes, that's $15. That's a dollar a minute.
There you go. I mean, that's what a bargain. What value?
What a barge.
So how can I help you today? How can I help you today?
I've heard you in the past say that you think a lot of videos made are crap.
I did.
And I'm just wondering if you feel the same way about fine art these days, like a lot of crappy paintings, things like that.
I'm not an expert. I went to the Tate Modern in London. I saw a bunch of junk. But what? Who cares what I think? Get out of here, Mints. Drive me nuts. Let's talk to my old frenemy, I'll call him, Thomas Ulmer, to close the show today. Tommy, talk to me.
Tim, it's so glad to hear you. I'm so happy to hear your voice.
I'm sorry, just getting my coffee. I'm happy to hear your voice too, friend.
Good, good. I just wanted to let you know, I know it's the end of the show, but I watched Bedtime Stories. It was perfect. I loved both episodes.
Thank you.
And yes, it was very good. And I hope your dad's house, I know he lives in Florida, I hope wasn't too much damage down that way for him.
Well, I think I talked to him yesterday. He was out without power for 2 or 3 days, and then without water for 2 or 3 days. But the latest was that he was back online, still boiling water, I guess. They had a water main break. But, I mean, he's in a condo, a high-rise condo deal on the beach, so he's just renting, so I don't think he has any personal property that was destroyed or anything. But, you know, a couple days of, inconvenience, I guess, beyond inconvenience. But, he's doing okay. Thanks for asking.
That's good, man. I know, I think Trump's heading down there today, so.
Another hurricane's coming. What's he going to do? He's going to start pulling, he's going to start putting sandbags up, hammer. He's going to build, put some 2x4s up. That rat.
Yeah, I think he's going to go down there and put some sandbags down and,
he's going to say, this is unbelievable. No one's ever seen a response like this before. It's unbelievable. We've never been a quicker fix-up from a hurricane. This is the greatest it's ever been.
Yeah, I mean, most presidents portray acting and do fake hugs, but he gets his hands dirty.
He gets down in there. Now, don't you think it's craven and unhelpful to have the big, because you guys would say it's about Obama. He goes down there with all the big Secret Service, the big footprint. Doesn't that impede recovery efforts to have the state and the local governments dealing with that giant mass of stuff coming down there? Does he need to go down there to get his picture taken? Does he need to go down there to get his picture taken with the hard
hats and stuff? No, you know. But all right, the whole thing. I saw Sarah Silverman post this on Twitter, tweeted out, and she posted this thing. It was a while back, where he is like behind a barricade of cars, about 100 feet away from the audience.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you know. If you were as hated as he would you get in those, you know, a group of people like that? I would not.
Well, what does that say, though? I mean, that's a chicken or an egg situation. Are you happy with? I mean, why? How did he get himself in that situation where he's so despised?
Don't like him.
Well, what's there to like?
But he's down in Florida. It's a mixed group, you know.
Oh yeah, the Florida folks love it. Love him down there. They're all into it.
Yeah.
It kills me to hear. And people give me a lot of grief on the internet about this because I said, you know, folks, let's just be honest with each other here. Florida is a state which does not have a personal income tax, a state income tax. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's a state that we know every couple of years, maybe it's going to be 20 years, maybe it's going to be 5 years, maybe it's going to be 30 years, there's going to be, and deny it if you want, it's going to get worse because of climate change, there is going to be massive destruction in that state every few years. Now, that's just the world we live in, chum. And now, at the same time, you got this state that says, A, we don't want our millionaires that live down here that build these ridiculous, gaudy mansions on the beach. We don't want you to pay any taxes down here. Don't worry about paying taxes. We don't need your money. We'll be fine. I don't know where. I don't know how. I don't know what. I don't know where they. I don't know who they, how they pay their cops. I don't know how they pay for anything. Well, maybe it's debt. Maybe they just run up debt. I don't know. Someone let me know. I'm curious. When the shit comes in from the Atlantic, and all our shit gets blown down, all our power lines get blown down, all our infrastructure gets destroyed. You know, I guess we'll have Tim Heidecker's taxes paid for it. I guess we'll have federal government come in and save our ass and rebuild. That sounds like a great idea. Let's rebuild in this place that's going to get torn down 5 years later, 10 years later. Does any of that make
sense? It's going to keep happening.
Does any of that shit sound conservative to you? Does any of that shit seem conservative to you?
I'm not 100% conservative. All I know is when... You mean same thing on the West Coast, man, when that earthquake hit.
I hear you, brother. But guess what? We pay taxes here. We pay taxes to live here. Now, I don't know if all that's going to go to rebuilding. I mean, when the big one comes here, forget it. That's it. But you know, that doesn't come at that kind of frequency that necessarily.
No, it doesn't.
As it does on the South Atlantic. So it's people said, "Oh, you want so you're bringing this up at a time." I just want people to remember that Florida, you know, it's a tax haven for people, and same with those islands down there too. It's for all these rich people to go down there. They can live. There's no consequences. They can hang on to all their money. They can buy all their yachts. But you know,
and you're talking about Jewish people, right?
I'm not talking about fuck you, you piece of shit, Jewish people. We have Rush Limbaugh Jewish, you dumb cunt.
I'm joking.
Fuck you.
I knew you.
I know you. But listen, you got to change this icon. I can't stand looking at this Pepe freak.
All right, I'll switch it up for you.
It's so gross. I mean, it's like putting a fucking swastika up on your thing.
I'll switch it up for you.
What do you want to be like that? Be positive. Put a ray of sun. Put a sunrise up there.
I'm feeling great, man.
Thomas, I want you to change the icon today. You don't have to. I'm asking you.
I'll change it today.
All right, Thomas.
I'll try and get in touch with you next Thursday.
All right. I appreciate you. Take care.
All right, buddy.
Bye-bye.
All righty.
All right. That's the end of the show. That's all we can do today. I've got so much to do today. I've got surprises out the wing-wang for you folks coming later this year. It's got to get worked on. All of it needs to get done. We need to focus. We need to get things back in order. We have got to take care of our own house. Thomas reminds us of that. Thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode of Office Hours. It's been a pleasure talking to you. Ready to-